Did you see in the papers yesterday that Charles Darwin's just had his DNA read to find out where he and his ancestors came from in Africa? Stunning what they can do these days. They actually traced the old bloke's Y chromosome. It's now residing unchanged in the Blue Mountains outside Sydney, in the living cells of his great-great-grandson, Chris. In a minute, we'll also meet Sarah Darwin, who's arrived in Australia already, along with the good ship Beagle. The reenactment, of course. This is The Science Show on ABC Radio National and online through abc.net.au/rn. I'm Robin Williams. And all that gene jockeying is being done through the Genographic Project, fostered by National Geographic. And here's the scientist who runs it, Dr. Spencer Wells, on the sheer scale and what it's all about.
Well, on the public participation side, which is where people can send off for a kit via the website, we've got about 350,000 people who've joined the project. And with the field work we're doing, that's our research centers around the world, we're up to around 50,000 samples or so.
And that's extraordinary because this started some years ago. What kind of things are you finding with all this material?
You know, it really runs the gamut, temporally speaking, from the very earliest days of our species. So think of us evolving as an African species. We appear in the fossil record at Omo Kabish in Ethiopia 195,000 years ago. We don't start to leave, according to the genetic data, until around 50 to 60,000 years ago. So we spent most of our history as a species living only in Africa. And what was going on during that huge expanse of time has never really been properly studied, but we published a paper about a year and a half ago that shows that there was actually quite a lot of interest going on at that time. We were splitting off into separate populations, probably driven apart in part due to climate change, and kept separate for as much as 100,000 years or so. And so separately evolving human populations living on the same continent and then coming back together due to population expansions. So very ancient events like that, things that happened over 100,000 years ago, all the way down to very recent things, like the genetic impact of the Crusades on the gene pool in the Middle East, the present-day Christian population of Lebanon, carrying genetic lineages that can be traced back to northern and western European sources within the last 1,000 years, detectable only through these huge sample sizes we're getting.
How do you get that? If someone goes, say, from Britain or Western Europe to the Crusades, what sort of genes do they take with them that show up all this time later?
Well, they take a lot with them. They take their entire genome. But what we're tracing are lineages that are particularly informative for these recent migratory events. So in this case, we looked at the Y chromosome. This is a piece of DNA that makes men men. So fathers pass it on to their sons and so on. And if you think about the way the Crusades happened, it was mostly men, of course, who went off to fight and conquer and so on. And so the Y chromosomes actually did have a genetic impact. And so the Y chromosomes of Christian populations, around 6% of them trace back to the Crusaders, as far as we can tell.
Extraordinary. Now, what about various people, say, in Australia? And where you are in America, are you finding surprises as proportion of people coming from elsewhere? I'll give an example of the sort of surprise that occurred to me, and that is the Maori people seeming to come from Taiwan as well as from Melanesia. Now that, if it's true, was really somewhat surprising.
Well, the Maori are a great example. They're kind of the terminus or the cul-de-sac in the Polynesian expansion. And so the Polynesians probably started off somewhere around present-day Taiwan, although that's debatable. It might have been further south in Southeast Asia, maybe in Malaysia. We're not quite sure, and we're trying to figure that out. But basically, you had this expansion out of East and Southeast Asia, probably starting around 5,000 years ago. People who sailed between islands, and they started to expand gradually further and further eastward. As they did, they dallied. They didn't just, you know, stop for a few days and move on. They would stop and intermarry and so on. And as they did that, they picked up genes from the local Melanesian population. So you have this substratum of East Asian genetic lineages, which we can see very clearly, but also lineages from Melanesia and Papua New Guinea and so on, which they picked up as they moved through. And as they did, they moved out to sea. And then ultimately, one of the last places they reached within the last 1,000 years or so was New Zealand. And they would have carried these lineages, ultimately of an Asian and Melanesian source, down into New Zealand.
There is some suggestion that the number of people coming out of Africa may have been as small as 100, 200, 300 in the first push, and then somehow a few years later, well, maybe 5, 10,000 years later, actually being able to reach Australia, which seems a hell of a sprint. Are you getting a picture of whether that sort of legend is true?
In terms of the numbers, yeah, I think it's conceivable that a few hundred people could have made it out. What's clear is that Africa harbors the greatest genetic diversity in the world, and the rest of the world outside of Africa is merely a subset of that. And we had what we call serial bottleneck events as people started to leave. So the population size was reduced every time we moved into a new region. And so you reduce the population size, a few hundred people moving into the Middle East, and then perhaps a sample of those moving into India and so on. And so a small number, effectively, would have reached Australia a few thousand years later. Now, it wasn't a sprint. You know, they didn't know what they were setting off to find, and they certainly had no concept of Australia out there beyond the seas. But they were simply wandering around in search of food, in all likelihood. And most of this journey would have been in the tropics, and they would have been beachcombing and surviving on fish and shellfish and so on. And, you know, as they used up the resources in one place and got fat and happy and had lots of babies, the kids would move on a little bit further in the next generation. And you do the math, a few kilometers a year will get you here very quickly.
So you've got nearly 400,000 samples so far. Why do you need more?
More is always better. In some cases, certainly on the public participation side, we're picking up rare genetic lineages that we had hoped for, perhaps, but didn't anticipate finding in the course of the project. In terms of the field sampling, you know, the goal is to go after these very isolated indigenous groups who retain this link back to the past, and we haven't sampled all of those by any means. I mean, the goal at the outset of the project was getting close to 100,000 indigenous groups around the world, and I think we're going to get very close to that by the end when we wrap it up in about 18 months. But the key is to put together this genetic snapshot of humanity's diversity. And the more samples we get, the better.
Now, we've got the Beagle, at least the reenactment of the Beagle, turning up in Australia in a few days' time. And Sarah Darwin's aboard. But also you've got Chris Darwin, who lives in Australia. You've taken swabs. What have you found out about Charles Darwin's heritage? Where does he come from?
Well, in Chris's case, of course, we're looking at the Y chromosome again, which traces down this purely paternal line. So it tells us about his father's father's father, all the way back to Charles. And so effectively what we're doing is sampling Charles Darwin's Y chromosome. He turns out to be carrying a very common lineage in the English population. Around 70% of Englishmen carry it. It's something we call R1B. It's the clan that his family belongs to. I'm also a member of it. My father's side of the family ultimately traces back to England. And so this is a lineage that would have come out of Africa around 45,000 years ago or so, moving into the Middle East during a second wave of expansion. So not the one that led to Australia along this coastal journey I was talking about, but a later one that came inland. And these people would have wandered into Central Asia around 40,000 years ago. It's the Ice Age. There are mammoths walking around. They have to figure out how to hunt these things, develop portable shelters and warm clothing. And around 35,000 years ago, they turned west from Central Asia, following the steppe lands, the grasslands, west into Western Europe, and they would have encountered the Neanderthals.
And who knows, mated with them. Could Charles Darwin have a Neanderthal trace? Maybe not. What about you? That was Dr. Spencer Wells at Government House in Sydney. He's scientific head of the Genographic Project, mapping out genetic history through time.